Welcome to church. Acts and chapter 2. We've been looking at utterance in the resurrection. And there's a reason why we titled it that way, is to have a strong scriptural basis for the subject matter of utterance. Without understanding, you and I will be able to better walk. Without the foundation of God's word, there's a tendency to want to approach things spiritual from the angle of our feelings, our emotions, and sometimes from my experiences. But with the foundation of God's word, you and I are handed over to grace. Hallelujah. When we read the teaching of God's word, we are handed over to the grace that we already have. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I read from verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, I want to see what Peter wrote. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God that is of our Lord Jesus. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. True. So there's grace and peace. He says that it can be multiplied through perfect comprehension. The knowledge of God in the word now is the word epignosis. And it says the epignosis of God is the epignosis of Christ. Hallelujah. So when you hear that, you realize that in the epistles, the word Christ is not used to figuratively represent Jesus. It represents all that Christ or God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, now we sound a little confused. But let me say this. When you hear Christ, Christ is a reference to all that God accomplished in the resurrection of Jesus. That's what Christ. Because Christ is more than a person. Christ is the body. Amen. So except you say Jesus Christ, then you're talking about a person. But when you say Christ, you're talking about only his, it only encompasses in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it means. So it says, through the name of God and of our Savior Jesus, spoke of Jesus our Lord. I like that word Savior too much, so I added that one. Acts chapter 2. Alright, so thank you. Let's look at what we have for today. Verse 1, and when the Pentecost was fully come, there was only one upon the Pentecost, and suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and they filled all the house where they were sitting, and they appeared unto them, clothing them like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The main text we've been using in this line has been 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 9. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 2 shortly. The book of Acts is a book of narrative. It's a book that narrates the experience of the early church with respect to redemption and salvation. So the writer of the book of Acts is giving us an eyewitness account of events as it happened. But then, and that's why when it's writing, it's not necessarily in chronological order. When you want to understand what happened, you can't look at it chronologically speaking. You have to look at different texts to understand what happened and what led to what, based on the testimony that was recorded. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. It is as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, but things which God has what? Prepared for them that long. So we said the word long means those who believe. So it says, I have not seen nor ear heard. So there are things God prepared through the utterance of the prophets. The promises that they spoke out on the behalf of God, they were things God prepared, things God said He will do, He will accomplish, which He has accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, look at next verse. It says, but God, so, is moving from the prophecy and the promise to the reality. He's moving from the prophecy and the promise. What's the prophecy? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of man, or the things God has planned and prepared can only be revealed. How was it revealed? Through the prophecy of the prophets, and then through the preaching of the gospel today. Say amen. So there are the things God has pre-planned, things that God has foreordained will happen, which took place in the resurrection of Jesus, which is now being preached to us as a gospel. He's talking about the gospel here. So when it says things that God has prepared, the benefits, the implication of the resurrection of Jesus, which we find in the gospel, is what it's talking about, things that are what prepared. So it says, but God has revealed to us by Spirit. When did we receive the Spirit? Before or after the resurrection? So thank you. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man? Save the Spirit of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Next verse. Now we have what? Received. Not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God.
or the embodiment of the things that God has prepared. Let me say it another way. The things, the spiritual gifts of God, which is the embodiment of all that God has what prepared. Listen what it says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given. So the things that are prepared, he now calls it freely given. That means you didn't work or labor for it. You received it by faith, which was given to you by the gospel. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 2, we see a practical demonstration of men and women, 120, laying hold on something that is freely given. What is the background of Acts chapter 2, verse 4? Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4 again. Because we're trying to see how to now start getting gradually into practical. But as we get into practical, you need to understand our basis for expecting that every believer should be given fully to utterance. Every single believer. Okay? The only time there's a difference in experience has a lot to do with the doctrine that you have received, or what you were taught, or the experience that people share with you, and in some cases your own experience. But what we use as a baseline that will enable every believer to flow is the revelation of the scriptures, which is the word of God, that gives you the boldness and confidence at all times. Acts 2 verse 4. We are not majoring so much on verse 2 and 3, because verse 2 and 3, you will notice, was never repeated in any of the passages. Glowing like as of fire, a sound that came from heaven, was never repeated. So we cannot follow that peculiar experience in order to explain that supernatural gift of utterance. But this is what we notice. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. So if you had that to verse 2 and suddenly became a sound from heaven, you will assume that something literally came upon them. You will assume that God did something on the day of Pentecost. You will assume, therefore, that the activity you are seeing is divinely initiated, except you look at the various passages where people got filled and they spoke to have a clarity about what was going on. Let me say it again. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled and began to speak. The 120 people, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 1, from verse 1. The former treatise of Abel Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Next verse. Until the day which was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Next verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his resurrection. What passion is his resurrection? By many infallible proofs. That what passion is his resurrection. Okay? So it says, being seen of them what? 40 days, and what? Speaking of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom. What is a kingdom? The realm of a king, or the authority of a king. The domain of a king is called a kingdom. So notice, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. How did he give them instructions? By the Holy Ghost. Are you following? By the Holy Ghost. What did we just read in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12? The Bible says, now we have received not the speeches of the world, but the speeches of God, that we may know the things which are freely given. So, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, people who are already believers, who are already saved. He now says, though you are already saved, in your salvation, some things are freely given, which the Holy Ghost will enable you to understand. So that you have it, that is freely given, doesn't mean you know it. Now, the believers here, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus taught for 40 days. Who was he teaching? People that got saved. As he was teaching, what was the content? He was speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. Why was he teaching? They were now part of that glorious kingdom. But that you are part of the kingdom doesn't mean you understand how the kingdom functions, because it's a spiritual kingdom. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 12. Glory to God. Galatians 1 verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. That's Old King James. It says, that's what is to qualify us to be what? Partakers. Notice, you were qualified to be a partaker. So, you are meant to be a participator of the inheritance that belongs to the saints in light. How did he qualify you? Verse 13. Verse 13. Who at once delivered us from the power of darkness? What power is authority? And has translated us well into the kingdom of his what? Dear son. It was not a physical transaction, it was a spiritual transaction. So by confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were delivered, you were translated. The translation is deliverance. When you were delivered, you automatically were translated. So when you were translated, you were now in another kingdom, which is not visible, but which can be tangibly expressed. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, or this natural kingdom. You have now received the spirit of the kingdom of God, so that you may know the things which are what freely given to you of God. Are you with me tonight? Are you following so far? So you have received the spirit, which is meant to show you the territory you live in. Who is meant to show you the abilities that are resident in you? There are things freely given. Verse 9 says there are things which God has prepared. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. One of the ways you get established in the things of the Spirit is to look at the utterance of the prophets again. Let me say it this way. In the utterance of the prophets, the things which God has prepared for those that will believe in is clearly stated out. It's clearly stated out. So the prophets prophesied, and when they were prophesying, the things they heard themselves say were so glorious, they began to inquire, who is God referring to? Which generation is this? And while they were inquiring and searching, it was revealed to them in their inquiry that it was not for them, but unto us, that this grace should come. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. You're obviously going to have to go to a lot of passages tonight, because I need you to understand this. Listen carefully. I want you to be so grounded in the doctrinal understanding of utterance that there is no time we will call you in any of these meetings that you don't have something to say. It is not that you ever lack something. It is that your mind, if it's not renewed, will actually, so to speak, rob you of the expression of the grace of God that's within you. And the only thing you can do to your mind is to cause it to be enlightened with the word of God. So 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently. Notice, they prophesied of the grace that shall come, the grace that is coming. So what was the content of the prophecy of the prophet? It is about the grace that will come. What is grace? That which is freely given. So they prophesied of a grace that is coming, a grace that will come, and that grace will come to you. So when they were prophesying of something to come, which is grace, in summary, it is something God spoke about concerning you and I. That is this generation. Are you with me tonight? So it says, the grace should come to you. If you read the grace unto you, the prophesied of the grace unto you. If you read what in italics, it just says that the grace is unto you, or the grace is prepared for you. The things prepared. Look at the next verse. It says, searching what or what manner of time the spirit of Christ which was in them. What does it mean by in them? In the things they said, the spirit was in what they said. That spirit in what they said was signifying. Signifying means to call attention to something. The spirit in what they said was signifying, okay, when it testified before it happened about the sufferings of Christ and what? The glory that should follow. What is it calling way that you follow? It is what he said previously, the grace to come to you. Hallelujah. The grace to come to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it as many ways as possible. You will get it. Because again, when you go back to what they have said, the Bible says they searched, they wondered, they made inquiry to find out the things that they spoke. Okay? What were they speaking? They were speaking of a grace that should come. What is that grace? The glory that is to come after the suffering. So the suffering is death and the burial, the glory is what? The resurrection. Say amen. So are we together so far? So now again, it says who that delivered us, he has made us a partaker of the inheritance that belong to the saints in the light. Who are these saints? Those who were delivered from the authority of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. What was Jesus teaching? He was teaching of things concerning the kingdom, Acts chapter 1. You see that now? Of things concerning the kingdom. What is that kingdom? The realm of the king and his domain. So Jesus was teaching them things with respect to salvation. What does it mean? The things that are freely given, and he taught for 40 days. So who was the teacher? Jesus. How did he teach? He taught for 40 days. In those 40 days, therefore, he began to explain to them about the things that are freely given. So the activity we see on the day of Pentecost is not a sudden activity, it is a fruit of knowledge. The activity on the other was a fruit of knowledge. Accurate, precise knowledge. What were they doing? They were acting on the knowledge that they were given in the teaching of Jesus. How do we know? Now, that's where you now have to move with me now. Acts chapter 10. Peter in the house of Cornelius, look at what happened. Verse 24. Acts 10 and verse 24. It says, while Peter here spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had the word, and they of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also, or in like manner, or the same way, was poured out the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. Can you see that? They were astonished. You know, it is interesting. While Peter yet spoke these words, remember when you read the book of Acts, the sermons recorded are summaries. You have to look at the different sermons to now expand them to know what was really taught. What was Peter saying? If you read from verse 18, the word which God said, or let me read from verse 18, I've gone and met Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good, and any other were present with the group, for God was with him. So he explained just why Jesus, the word that God sent, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Who was Peter preaching to? He was preaching to Gentiles. Now, look at verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who deceived and hung on a tree. He's not getting to the nitty gritty of the message. When you're reading what Luke wrote, don't take roots. Luke just made this. Peter just preached a sentence. It is a sermon. This is the summary of the sermon. It's like taking shorthand. It's like taking excerpts after the meeting. There are the excerpts from this meeting. The excerpts are a summary of the meeting. The real teaching is in what was communicated. Are you with me tonight? So look at what is in that. Notice in verse 40. In God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose. Second time he's talking about he rose from the dead. Okay? He now says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So he gave all the prophets witness that, and through his name, whosoever believed in him shall receive what? The remission of sins, while he yet spake this word. So Peter was explaining how salvation is in no other name than in the name of Jesus. What's the name of Jesus? Is resurrection. See, amen. Hallelujah. Am I going too fast? No, good stuff. We are here tonight, isn't it? Good stuff. So notice, while Peter yet spake this word, which words? Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He was buried. God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses. And God has ordained that whosoever believeth on him shall receive the remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, what happened when Peter was yet speaking? Because you will think again, what happened was a divine initiation on the part of God. God just poured out spirit. Just look at them, just real spirit. No, there was a message, there was a hearing, there was a teaching. In that teaching, there was an understanding. In the understanding, there was a believing. In that believing, there was a reception. Let me go through the process again. There was a teaching, because there was a message. In the teaching, there was an understanding. In the understanding, there was a believing. In that believing, there was a reception that took place. What is that reception? Look at verse 44 again. While he yet spoke these words, okay, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which had the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So listen carefully. When the gospel is preached in all integrity, even if the man preaching does not believe, it will still have an effect. Was Peter expecting them to be filled with spirit? No. Were the people who escorted Peter expecting? No. Were they filled? Yes. Why were they filled? Christ was preached. How was he preached? That he is the resurrection and the life. Or true, we have the remission of sin. So notice, this is what I need you to see. Very important. Whatever Peter preached in the resurrection must have mentioned the reality of the fact that in that resurrection, utterance is available. Let me say it again. In that resurrection, utterance is part and parcel of that which is given freely in that resurrection. Because notice, when he speaks these words, how do we know they believe? No. So I said, look, Acts 11. and verse 17. Peter is called to the carpet by the elders of Jerusalem. So they've called him up. Listen to verse 14. Verse 14. Acts 11, 14. Look at Peter. Okay. 13. 13. 13. And he showed us. So Peter is narrating before the elders of Jerusalem. So he said, this is what happened with respect to Cornelius, and this is what Cornelius told me. He showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. We should have said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Look at verse 14. What will Peter do? He will tell thee words. What is the content of those words? Words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what? Saved. So, what was the intent of Peter going to Cornelius' house? To speak words that will cause Cornelius and his household to be saved. Can you see that? So, that means whatever we see happening in the house of Cornelius had to do and was considering what salvation. What did we see in Acts 10:44 where Peter here speak? The Holy Ghost fell. And the people that went there were astonished, for they heard them speak. They heard them speak. What was the Holy Ghost falling? They heard them speak. What was the Peter go to speak? Was whereby they might be saved. That means that utterance is consistent with what? Salvation. Are we together? Let me say it again. Utterance is consistent with what? Salvation. What was Peter preached? Peter preached Christ raised from the dead. Whereof were all witnesses. God showed him openly. So, what whereby you and your household might be saved. Look at next verse. And as I began to speak, notice this is crucial, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Stop. If the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us, that means that whatever we saw in Acts 2 was a function of the teaching Jesus must have given them. Just like what we see in Acts 10 is a function of the teaching that Peter must have given. So, Acts 2 looks as though it happened suddenly, but there was nothing sudden about it, because it was the fruit of the knowledge that Jesus gave to them for 40 days. Peter now should preach the same message to them. How do you know what Peter has been preaching? Oh, very simple. Acts 2. Look at Acts 2, verse 23. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, what was Peter preaching? What happened on the day of Pentecost? They were filled and they began to speak. When they began to speak, people gathered around. What did they say? What does this mean? Or what meaning this? So Peter had a reason to now start explaining. What was part of Peter's message? Acts 2:23. He being delivered by the family council and fallen of God, you have taken up a wickedness, you have crucified and slain. Next verse. When God has what? Raised up. When God has raised up. When God has raised up. Can you see that? When God has raised up. Peter, what are you explaining? I'm explaining what you experienced or what you saw us do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Peter is answering the question, what does this mean? It is here that God has raised up. Okay, having raised the presence of God because it was not possible that I should be over of it. Alright? Look at the next verse. For demons spear concerning, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. It's on the right hand that I should not be messed up there. Now notice Peter was preaching about the resurrection as the explanation for what happened. Where did it begin? It began with God's prophecy. Where did it end up? It ended in the demon's prophecy concerning what? Salvation. Say amen. So Peter's explanation, as a matter of fact, if you study closely from the Luke's narrative, most scriptures were quoted from David's prophecy, not that of Joel. In other words, Peter focused on salvation as a basis for the experience that happened that day than what Joel was saying. Because again, what Joel was saying was an offshoot of what David was saying. What did Joel say? Joel said, it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit. Now again, what did David say? David said, in God has raised up. God has what? Raised up. So, the foundation therefore for what you will see in Acts chapter 2, notice again, go back to Acts chapter 11. Where are we in Acts chapter 11? Verse 15 or 14? Is it 15? So notice, as I began to speak, what was he speaking? Words whereby they may be saved. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So when Satan, the Holy Ghost fell, here's the interesting part. When you are reading Acts 2, you won't know that the Holy Ghost fell. When you're reading Acts 10, Luke says the Holy Ghost fell. But Peter now says they fell on us as on the beginning. So what does it mean for the Holy Ghost to fall? We may have to look at what happened the first instance. And the word fall was not used. But it was not used in Acts 10. We will now use Acts 2 to understand what happened in Acts 10. And we'll look at Acts 10 to understand what happened in Acts 2. Hallelujah. Is that simple enough? Now, notice this is Peter narrating to the elders what happened in Cornelius' house. So if you read Acts chapter 10, you will not have this explanation until you step into Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, Peter, what did you go and say? This man sent for me. He saw an angel. And the angel said, send for Simon Peter, he will tell you words. So we understand that whatever activity of the Spirit we see must be a ministration of the Spirit through the words that the man will speak. But let's put it this way. On the day of Pentecost, where did they begin? They began to speak with other words, other tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. Where did they end up? They ended up with Peter preaching the gospel and 3,000 souls were saved. In other words, utterance on the day of Pentecost was given in order to attract men to the much more that God had available for them. Let me say it another way. Hallelujah. Utterance or tongues is to call the attention of men to the much more that God has in mind for them. So when they were asking, what does this mean? God was trying to attract their attention. When he got their attention, what he wanted to give to them, he gave them in the message that Peter preached. What did he give to them? Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what was the utterance for? To prepare the hearts of men. Whose heart was prepared? First of all, the heart of the 120 and the heart of Peter. And then when he was prepared, the utterance was now used to call the attention of the unsaved to the salvation that was available. So utterance in Acts chapter 2 is men co-laboring with God for the salvation of souls. It is men co-laboring with God for the salvation of others. That's with respect to Acts chapter 2. Because as God will see, when it comes to believer to believer, it is partnering with God to express love of God to fellow saints. When it comes to the unsaved, it is co-laboring with God for the salvation of souls. When it comes to the saints, it is, so to speak, partnering with God to display the love of Christ towards from one sin to the other. And as God will begin to expand a bit, because again, if you know that utterance is your partnership with God to display his love towards another saint, if you are not giving to utterance towards another saint, you are selfish. You are being selfish. Ask your neighbor, are you selfish? It's just that I'm shy. Sister, is it shyness or selfishness or self-centeredness? Since somebody says shyness. Under the touch of God's word is self-centeredness. You are thinking of yourself. I don't mind speaking like blessing. Like to bless. You need to like to bless others. How do we know that's what it is? Okay, I don't want to jump, but we'll go there. Yes, let's run briefly to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll run out. If we stay there tonight, we will not get out. I'm the little pushing the way for the world. Because if you step into fully, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that you may want, professor. Next verse. It speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands how it in the spirit speaks mysteries. Next verse. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. One of the principles of Bible interpretation is that you look at what was written in verse 1. You use it to interpret almost all the verses. So when you're reading verse 3, what does in verse 3? He that prophesies. What does verse 1 say about prophecy? Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather that you may prophesy. So, he that prophesies speaks unto men, is he that desires based on love. Are you see that? He who is prophesying is acting on his desire based on love. So the one who is prophesying is deliberately acting on the love of God within him to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what he's doing. So if that prophesies, he's speaking unto men edification. The one to his size. What is he speaking? Edification, which is exhortation, that is comfort. Now, verse 4. Or let's jump to verse 5. Look at verse 5. I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church will receive what? Edifying. Verse 6 is what we're doing. He says, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, that is not in the private life. That is in the community of the saints. I come to you. You are seated. I come to you. You are standing, but I come to you. How do I come to you? I come to you speaking. While I'm doing tongues, I am speaking something meant for you, but I'm here to address you. As long as it's just tongues. Why? Verse 2 says, no man understand it. So if I come to you speaking, so my initiation of what I want to say to you is by speaking in tongues, but the tongues are not addressing you, it is interpretation that will address you. Are you following now? Because what did he say in verse 1? As you follow the activity of love, as you desire the things of the Spirit, in the rather that I may what prophesy, or that I may take from what tongues is trying to say and make it known to you by interpreting it. It's called working love. As you take what tongue is hiding, figure of speech now, I shall unveil it to you by interpreting it, and it says interpretation is entirely within my will. It's not God. Listen, the more you understand how these things operate, the more, unless you say things like, I have the tongue, I don't have the interpretation. You do. You do. Something is holding your mind back. You do. You do. You do. When in these meetings, you see, this is yours. She's laughing. This was tonight. Give us a few words. Where is she going to get it from? Definitely not from her mind. How will she start? She will come to us speaking with tongues. How will she work in love? Now, she has initiated the love work, but she has not completed it. Imagine me cooking a very wonderful soup and stew, preparing what will go along with it, making sure you smell it. And when it's done, I escort you home. We will go and look at me. Some of you are thinking, wickedness, wickedness. You were spending from the kitchen. You were with, you were anticipating, you were like, yeah, it's soon done. The minute it's done, I was sweating. I came out, I used this water to clean my face. I said, it's time for you to go. But some of you said, we are not going yet. We are led to stay longer. Now, so you heard the aroma. You knew something good was cooking. You knew something was going on. From the smell, you knew it must taste good. And not even allow you to taste it. If I come to you speaking with tongues, so I have come. That is the initiation. I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking. How do I profit you? I must serve you after what I've cooked. How do I not profit you? I let you smell. I say, the Lord bless you and your family. The Lord fill your stomach. Come on, we go in. Yes, transport money. You won't have any transportation money that day. Even if you don't have one, like, how can you know? Now, if I come to you speaking with tongues, notice, how, what shall I profit you? So if I come to you speaking, profit is in mind. The profit is not in the tongues. The profit is in what the tongues will unveil. So I am partnering with God to profit you. Now, as we go on later in this series of thinking, you will see the word profit, the word edify, the word excel. They are interchangeably used to communicate the same thing. The aim of the love work is to edify another believer. If you are not edified, no matter what I have done previously, it doesn't matter. And as we were speaking, the man said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and I'm not, it means if I do not accomplish what is meant to accomplish, if I don't fulfill what's meant to get to, all those things don't matter. I can be speaking to the air. If I'm speaking to the air, I'm still not working not towards you. I'm not benefiting you because I'm not edifying you. And people do that a lot. When you finish, you know that. Let us hear what God is saying. You understand? The technical people are wondering that our mic. Our mic. Okay, so I'll say, Pastor, you say, please don't have to go like anything. When you finish this now, we now want to hear the prophet, because there's no prophet in your screaming. That one will not profit us. We have to focus on so that it doesn't really take us. Because if I come to you speaking with tongues, not if I come to you speaking. What shall I profit you? So profit, I can speak to you either by what? Revelation, or by knowledge, or by what? Prophesying, or by doctrine. So the interpretation will reveal four of these four things. It's either what? Revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or doctrine. There's something in Anu, Posi, Fresti, Lekrus, Tessi, Estre, Elek, Koko, Prestine, Eshter, Susumye, Kalakia. Tongues is one leg. Interpretation gives you the fullness of expression. So as you learn to communicate and to cooperate with the spirit within, that same spirit that wants to make to every single seed reveal the revelation of the risen one, it will allow you to find words to express the glories that are meant to follow that glorious resurrection. And you will find within it supernatural comfort that will change the state of mind, the way that particular individual is thinking, and will bring immediate relief from every single challenge the other may be facing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, notice if I come to you speaking, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? So there's profiting. Now let's go back to Acts 2. I said we're going to run out of this one. We can't continue like that. So I won't skip something. So in Acts 2, what happened again? Notice, Peter was preaching. In Acts 2, they were all filled. They began to speak. What were they acting on? They were acting on a teaching. Who gave them the teaching? Acts 1, Jesus saw them for 40 days. What were they teaching? Things concerning the kingdom. What was the message that was being preached? Look at Acts 4. Acts 4. Verse 7. And we had set them in the midst. They asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Next verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, elders of Israel, yep, if with this day we examine of the good deed done of the Ethiopian man, by what means is made whole, yep, says, be it known unto you all and all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. Next verse. This is the stone that was set in the mouth of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among you whereby we must be saved. Next verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter. So, what was Peter doing? He preached. What was he preaching? Resurrection. 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 That was what Peter was preaching. Resurrection. Why was he always preaching resurrection? That's where salvation is. That is the name of Jesus. The things of the kingdom, the resurrection, that is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is his resurrection. He's the one that was raised from the dead. In that resurrection, he's the one that has made available the forgiveness of sins. He's the one that has made available the spirit to indwell us today. That is the resurrection. That is the name. When you say Pele, you know he's talking about football. Isn't it? When you hear Barack Obama, what do you think about? American politics, past president, isn't it? When you hear Dangote, you see? Why don't you think of any other Dangote except that Dangote? When you hear Dangote. So you hear business and commerce, you hear the richest man in Africa. When you hear, so that means a name is a reputation, a status that communicates something to you when you hear it. When you hear the name of Jesus, it's not an appellation, it's a reputation. Understanding, the one that rose from the dead. The one that even we have forgiveness of sins. The one even we have the spirit to indwell us today. So when he spoke, look at Acts chapter 8. He used different times to say the same thing. What did Jesus say? Things concerning the kingdom. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. Verse 4. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria. What did he preach? What did he preach? He preached Christ. Look at next verse. And the people who want Acob gave heed unto those things which Philip speak, hearing that word, seeing the miracles which he did. What did Philip preach? Christ. What is the message of Christ that Philip was taught by the apostles? That God has raised him from the dead. So what was Philip preaching? That God has raised him from the dead. How did Philip prove it? They gave heed unto what Philip said, hearing and seeing. So what were they hearing and seeing? Miracles. Why were the miracles working? To show that God has raised him from the dead. Let me say this way. If God has raised him from the dead, the implication therefore is that whatever he was doing before he died, he will continue doing. But if he is dead and no longer alive, his name will not produce the same effect since he's already dead. But if today men are still healed, if today men are still speaking in tongues, then you can say the miracles, the healing, and the tongues that men are speaking is a measure of his aliveness. Is there an English like that? So you will say that the tongues, the healing, are a measure of the aliveness of Jesus. That's what it means. Because remember, they were filled, Acts 2, and they began to speak. How did Peter explain it? Peter told them, "Hearken." And Peter began to explain. And what did Peter explain? God has raised him from the dead. Wherefore, being by the hand of God exalted, and having received the Father gift of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So the utterance that you see is a measure of how alive Jesus is. Not just that he's alive through men now. So the utterance is a measure of how alive Christ is in me. Because I speak with tongues, I'm expressing Christ's aliveness in me. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, in my name, what is his name? Resurrection. In my name they shall speak with me, Mark 16, verse 17. In my name they shall speak in new tongues. What is his name? His resurrection. What's resurrection? Is aliveness. So you can say therefore that tongues is a measure of the aliveness of Jesus. Glory to God. It was a way of proving that Jesus is alive. That's so crucial for us to understand. So, for you not to speak is for you not to acknowledge the aliveness of Jesus. Because in my name, what is his name is resurrection. In that resurrection, Peter said, there is no other name, no other given among men whereby we must save, but by the name of Jesus. We can say there is no other name given among men whereby we must speak in tongues, except by the name of Jesus. Because if we are saved, then we can speak in tongues. Because the ability to speak is consistent with our salvation. Hallelujah. But what do we have people do? Go back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Where do we have a dichotomy? 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not what? The Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know. So, can a man receive ability to speak and never speak? Yes. What is the challenge? That we may know. So when a man does not know, will he speak? He won't speak. What were they taught for 40 days? The things of the kingdom. What is part of the things of the kingdom? Utterance by the Spirit, which is a function of salvation and the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus taught them. So we now see the beginning of things. Everybody knew what to do. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 10. Peter said, look at Acts chapter 11 again. Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. Again, Acts 11, 15. Acts 11 explains to us what happened in Acts 10. Makes us understand what happened in Acts 2. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at what? The beginning. Many people will try to interpret what happened in Acts 2 as a sovereign move of God. The Holy Ghost just fell. So, you are thinking, there was a shaking. Then something just happened. Until you see what happened in Acts 10. The Peter now says exactly what happened in Acts 2 is what happened in Acts 10. And we know what happened in Acts 2 was a function of teaching. So what happened in Acts 10 was also what? A function of teaching. In other words, men were able to speak. That speak is called the Holy Ghost fell. So in fact, let me say it this way. You can say the Holy Ghost fell from the mouth of Peter, because what Peter was saying fell on the ears of Cornelius, fell into the heart of Cornelius, fell out of the mouth of Cornelius. If you like four. If you like what four? The Holy Ghost fell from Peter's mouth while Peter was preaching, fell on the ears of Cornelius, fell on the heart of Cornelius, then fell out of Cornelius' mouth. I think that's a lot of falls. You like four? Because Peter said it was like on us at the beginning. And guess what? Nothing was recorded about cloven tongues of fire, no wind. That means that wasn't necessary. That Paul wasn't necessary. That wasn't even doctrine. What was really necessary was the fact that they began to speak, which is they acted on the teaching that Jesus had given them, and they acted. And the same thing happened to the Gentiles to show that God, there was no demarcation between the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians, as on us at the beginning. If I look at verse 17, see what happened. See what's it. Peter was just preaching there, verse 17. And that says, "For as much then, notice, as God gave them the like gift as did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus." What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus? What do you need to believe about Jesus for you to be saved? Why are you looking like I asked a specific question? So, when you say they believe on the Lord Jesus, what should you believe that he was born? That's not saying that to anybody. So notice the link, let me read again. "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, we believed on the Lord Jesus." So what happened to make the utterance gift possible in Acts chapter 2? They had believed on the Lord Jesus. He now says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, we believed on the Lord Jesus." What was that could withstand God? Or because I spoke to them words whereby they might be saved, God gave them the same gift, or the same gift and expression to them. Glory to God. See, the utterance of the Spirit is on our inside. I received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God. The things of the kingdom, they feel free to. I am in that kingdom, the kingdom is in me. The things of this kingdom find free expression and full expression to me. At any time, I can express what I have. So I'm in that kingdom, and that kingdom is in me. Hallelujah. That is your meditation, that's your confession. That is how you spur yourself on to greater things. Estrupala Gante, Friste, Ligo Gruste, Estrupana, Dino, Gruste, Sifrediana, Astro, Estevado, Tulegia. Many times the tide will rise. Many times the tide will seem as though it's not present at all. But whether the tide rises or the tide is low, your tongue is that equipment that God has given you to draw freely from that depth of the Spirit to be a river of comfort to many others that may be in need. First to you, you are strengthened. Then to others, they are edified. And through that overall move of the Spirit, the church is edified and many are blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what happens. The more you try to think about those things, the less you will yield. The more you meditate on the reality that you are in the kingdom is in you. The easiest is to connect your tongue and to flow. And then you listen to what is coming up, where in listening you will learn. And as you learn, therefore, you get better at expressing those same things, the things which are already in you, but the Spirit that endures you. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of the kingdom. Now we know the things which are freely given to us in that kingdom. Okay, I'm putting kingdom there for you to make sense. Okay? So say, I'm a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light. I'm a partaker of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Because I'm a partaker, I can express the things of those kingdom because I have the Spirit of that kingdom within me. Hallelujah. So look at the next verse, verse 13. It says, verse 13 now, it says, see what it says, which things also, 1 Corinthians 13. Also, we speak. Interesting, he speaks about the things God has prepared. He speaks about the Spirit revealing those things to you. He speaks about that we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God. That we know things are freely given. He now says those things we speak. Those things we speak. So let's say it this way. If those things we speak, and the people in Acts 2 could prove that they had the Spirit by speaking with tongues, and from tongues they moved on to interpretation, whatever God was at freely given on the day of Pentecost was the salvation of them. Yes or no? Did they accomplish that on the day of Pentecost? Yes, they did. They did. They did. They did. So, from tongues to interpretation, from interpretation to teaching, from teaching to salvation. Can you see the connection? Can you see the connection? Can you see it's connected? So, what are the things that are freely given? Confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Men automatically become saved. In their salvation, the Spirit comes to live in them. It says, which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. Doing what? Comparing the things of the Spirit with the things of the Spirit. So here's what I want you to see. That in Acts chapter 2 is understood by what happened in Acts chapter 10. What happened in Acts chapter 10? Let's go back to Acts chapter 10 now. We've never completed Acts chapter 10. Verse 44 again. Verse 44. Acts 10, 34. Since Acts 10, 34. While Peter yet spake this was the Holy Ghost friend on all them which had the word. Next verse. For they, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as only Peter, because that on the Gentiles also, or in the same manner, was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice what poured out. Look at that. It was poured out. Next verse. Now, let me ask a question. It was poured out of where? It was poured out of where? Do you notice that there is something that was omitted that was filled up by what Peter explained in Acts chapter 11? Do you notice nothing was said while Peter was preaching that these people confessed Jesus as Savior? But did they confess him as Lord and Savior? They must have. Because Peter said they believed. They believed what Peter preached. And in believing, he must have what? Confessed. And in confessing, they must now have spoken. Can you see that the parts that are missing are supplied by Peter's narrative? For God gave them the same way he gave us. So they were astonished, means that even though Peter and the others that followed him were not expecting, because people believed. What was the qualification? You have to believe. And in the end, remember what happens when a man believes? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The same God over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Is that not so? So they must have called, which is the sign of believing, and in calling they received, and in receiving they expressed. So look at that Acts again. It says, because that on the Gentiles also was called that the Holy Ghost, for they had their spirit with tongues and what? Magnify God. They had them speak with tongues and they magnified God. They had their spirit with tongues and they magnified God. So here's what I want you to see. Preaching salvation, men receive the Spirit. Men express the Spirit. For others to hear, they had them. They had them speak with tongues. That means at the instance of salvation, vocal ability is given. Vocal ability is present at the instance of salvation. It's not an aftermath of salvation, it's at the instance of salvation. Vocal ability is given, vocal ability is what present at the instance of salvation. At the instance of salvation. We'll touch on this briefly and then we'll come up to it next week. Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Verse 13. Another experience in Acts 8. Look at Acts 8, verse 13. Verse 14. Because of our time. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had what? Received the word of God, they said unto them what? Peter and John. What did they hear? Samaria had received. What did Philip preach? He preached Christ. What was his response? He believed, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So let me ask a question. Were they saved? Were men saved? But look at Acts 8, verse 5. Look at verse 5 again. Verse 5. We'll go back to verse 14 now. Then Philip went out to Samaria. Okay, and preached Christ. At verse 6. People with one accord, they gave it. Also, collectively, they gave it to those things which he spoke. Even I see the miracles which he did. Next verse. For unclean spirit crying out with loud voice came out of them that were possessed with them, and many taken with forces, and they were lame were healed. Next verse. And there was great joy where? In that city. What is that joy? A joy that accompanies salvation. Can you see that? So, verse 14 again. When the apostles which they had, that Samaria had received, the word received means to welcome. It means initial contact, to welcome. Peter preached, they welcomed, they had an initial contact with the gospel. What did they receive? They had received the word of God. Okay, they sent unto them what? Peter and John. Next verse. When they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive. And this is where the English is a little bit limited in explaining what the word receive means. Receiving verse, previous verse, is not the same word as receive here. To receive the word of God means to welcome. It means to embrace a message that is given to you. The word receive here in this other verse is the word to recognize and take hold of. They're not the same. So the first receive is this initial contact with the gospel. They embrace the message and they receive. Because whosoever shall come, but whosoever believes shall be saved. So they received. In fact, there was joy in that city. That is a sign of salvation. Then, why were the apostles sent? The apostles noticed when Peter and John came, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So the question is, what does it mean that they might receive the Holy Ghost? The word in the previous verses was tekumai. It means to welcome and to embrace, to have an initial contact. The word used there is the word lambano. It means to recognize and act on it. To recognize and act on it. So what was the challenge of the saints at Samaria? They were yet to recognize and act on the indwelling of the Spirit. Is that what we experience of any human? They are yet to recognize and act on the reality that they already have. Remember, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God that we may know. The Spirit is given to you to know the things you have freely given. So there were things freely given to the Samaritans at salvation that they were yet to act on. So what was the assignment of Peter and John? Who obviously must have been a ministry team. They didn't send Bartholomew and Thomas. Yes. They didn't send Bartholomew and Thomas. Why did they send Peter and John? They must have been a ministry team. Because we already seen him in Acts chapter 3. At the beautiful gate, they must be ministry team. That's not a coincidence. We're going to pray at the hour of prayer. That means they usually work together. They don't know who Jesus used to work with before they beheaded him. But I think it was one of the three. But somehow, we don't know what happened. At least it was one of the three when Jesus was on the earth. But Peter and John were always going together. And they must have had a particular ministry along that area for the elders to agree to send the two of them. When they came, they prayed for them. So they had a ministry of helping believers receive what belongs to them. Can you see that now? You know, that actually is accomplished by the ministry of laying of hands. I want to help you to receive what belongs to you. If God wants to use you peculiarly in the area of prophecy, and you have not been working it, I can lay hands on you to help you receive that grace into expression. In that case, the ministry of laying hands is now a help. It's a help. If God wants to use you in the area of design of spirits and you have been typing in and out, hands can be laid on you to help you lay hold on that ability and begin to work in it. So, when they came, they prayed for them that they might learn Banu, recognize and act, recognize and act, recognize and take. Which is the word that was used in Acts 2:4? They were all filled and they began to speak. They were filled, not Acts 2:4, sorry. They began to speak. It was used in Acts 1:8. So, what is he saying? They came to pray to help them to recognize and to take. So, notice, for as yet he was falling upon. So, we have the word fall again. Can you see the word fall again? How did this guy fall before? From Peter's mouth into the house of Cornelius and his people, from their ear to their heart, from their ear to their mouth. So, Holy Ghost was falling upon them means that none of them had said anything, none of them had uttered anything, even though the ability was there. So, notice what happened then. Okay, only they were baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Next verse, verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them and they recognized and acted. They recognized and took. They recognized and laid hold. Can you see that now? So a man can decumine and not lambano. Okay. You understand what I just said? What does it mean to decumine again? And to embrace, but not act. So I'm going to now call the receive in English. So you can decumine and yet not lambano. What does it mean to lambano? It means to recognize. So you may decumine and never recognize what you have decumined. If the Greek people catch me, I'm making verbs out of Greek word now. You can decumine and never lambano what you have decumined. Decumine is salvation. In salvation, everything is available. We have received speeches of God, not speech of the world. But then, have you acted? Because acting and speaking also we speak. That's the acting, that's the labrador. So now we have received the word received there in 1 Corinthians 2:12 actually is what to Lambano. We have taken of that spirit. And after that spirit, we are speaking. Hallelujah. Every time you speak in tongues, you are lambanoing. You are taking. Here's what is interesting. You do that almost unconsciously all the time. How I wish you would do that same thing with other things of the spirit. The same way you're unconsciously doing it when it comes to tongues. Just unconsciously prophesy to us. Because you don't think twice before you speak in tongues. And each time you speak in tongues, you are lambanoing. You take hold of something. Consciously. You can consciously bring interpretation. I'm saying that because as we're going on now, nobody has an excuse again to say, I have the tongue, I don't have, where did you go to? You don't have word interpretation. Is it inside the tongue that interpretation is? Yeah. So, let me give the tongue. If you give interpretation, you that give the tongue, interpret your tongue for us. Amen. I don't let you off the hook. And my plan is that this believers all night by the grace of God. Every single soul. Yeah. Mike will reach you. If Mike does not reach you, somebody will reach you. But I will not speak to somebody. It's a lying something. You must minister to somebody. Yes, you must. We will stand before you and look at you. Auntie, prophesy. Prophesy. You need help, we lay hands and leg for prophesy. You must, it's a must. It's not negotiable. When you are not going to tell you, walk in love. Child of God, walk in love. Prophesy. The Bible says it's walk in love. Prophesy. Walk in love. Don't be selfish. Pastor, because we are shy. Stop being shy. Why are you shy? Hallelujah. Which things also we speak. We labano, we speak. They began. We also have to learn how to what? To begin. Hallelujah. And as we begin, we will find there's a current, there's a flow that never stops. It's a fountain that never dries up. As much as we give ourselves to it, to keep flowing, to keep finding expression to us. So the teaching of God to make us realize that the same faith they have, the same thing we have. The same spirit they have, the same spirit we have. The same resurrection, that's their inheritance. The same resurrection as their inheritance. Therefore, the same ability to speak, the same ability that we have to speak. Glory to God. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Praise God. Anyone has a question? Okay.
Church. Alright, my question is from Acts chapter 8. Okay. The experience